Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
Final Four!
This will be, this is the biggest thing we're ever going to talk about. This might be the biggest thing we talk about in the next 5 years. This is the biggest thing.
I hope Brett Bielema's not listening
to you. Good point. This is the biggest thing until we win the college football playoff in 2020.
He's going to come hunt you down. Yeah.
This is the biggest thing.
The topic almost needs no introduction.
Yes.
We are going to talk about Illinois into the Final Four. Robert, you were there.
Yes.
The Elite Eight game. What were the big moments, not just on the court, but around it? Ella Peterson is our producer and engineer, and she was here in campus, so we'll get that perspective. Also, the president of the U of I Community Credit Union and noted Illini fan, Chris Harlan, is going to pay a visit before this episode is over.
That's right. Perfect time. I sent him a text this morning. I'm like, boy, did we pick. I mean, we set this up a month and a half ago. What a time for him to come in to be our guest and talk about some of this stuff. So, yeah. Big episode coming up.
All right. But before we talk about the biggest thing ever, or maybe the biggest thing ever, we have to do the biggest thing ever.
We have to light the eye. We've called it Blue Eye March. What do we do about April? Because we're still going to be playing in April.
Well,
we'll have to decide.
That's another conversation for another time.
It's still March,
and it's still madness, and Illinois still has games coming up. The national semifinals are next.
That's right. So it's time to
light the eye. Did you think that we've been having this conversation? Did you ever think? I know you dreamed it.
I mean, I've thought it every year at the beginning. In 2018, when we lost 21 games, 2018-19, I thought it. I always think it. It just never comes true.
It just came true.
I can't. I'm still at pinch me. It's still surreal. I can't get over it. I can't get my brain to say Illinois in the Final Four, that it actually happened.
By the way, nice shirt.
Thank you. It was waiting for me when I got home. My wonderful bride, I guess, had run by the store, and so I get home, and this is laid out for me.
How many people have made a run on the store?
Good point. I mean, it's if you create merchandise right now, you are probably living good because, yeah, it is. I mean, look, I'm in airports all day yesterday, and my flight was delayed, and I'm here, and I'm there, and I'm trying to get home, and just everybody wants to say something. Oh, Illinois. Oh, hey. Great game. Oh, boy, you guys really killed Houston. You know, everyone wants to talk about it. Everyone. I checked, so my flight was too late that I couldn't get from Chicago to Champaign last night. I had to stay in a hotel by O'Hare and finally make the final leg of my flight. I go into the Hilton Garden Inn. I'm checking in. The woman checked me in at the hotel. I was like, hey, go Illini. I'm like, yeah, I just came from the game and this and that. She's like, I really don't even know what the Final Four is, but I just know that this is a really big deal. And so I've just been telling anybody wearing that, go Illini. And she's like, I just know it's really, really big. I'm like, I love that you're acknowledging how large this moment is, even though you don't know anything about college basketball, because it is a massive, massive moment.
It's the biggest moment in Illinois, single moment, in Illinois athletics since the last time they made the Final Four 21 years ago.
Definitely, yes. I had said that the Citrus Bowl was bigger than any basketball moment had been so far.
Like, I think ever Citrus, in history?
No, since 2005.
Oh, yeah.
That the Citrus Bowl, 10 wins, all that was, you know, beating South Carolina, proving you probably should have been a playoff team. That was this massive moment, and maybe bigger than, you know, maybe bigger than the Sweet 16 win in 2004, but making the Final Four, yeah, this is massive, massive moment.
The reverberations, because one of the things that happens at this time of year is people that go, I don't even know what the Final Four is, but yes. Go Illini.
Yes, but all I see is orange and blue, and she was talking about it like her family and everybody. It's just all anyone is talking about, so she wants to get in on it, so go Illini. I love it.
I have friends who are, at best, casual sports fans. Yep. There are some of those out there,
mm-hmm.
just at best casual sports fans. I'll get a text from somebody saying, hey, Scott, I noticed there's a lot of internationals on the Illini roster.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Long story, but we can get there. Yes. Yeah, I get it.
How did that come about? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I hear they pay players now. Okay, look.
Yeah.
But just so massive. And I wanted to start with this. The thing that I had always, not always, often heard said by some naysayers, and I'm not, this is not a, this is the receipt moment. Let's show receipts.
Sure.
This is just what I've heard from pockets during the years. Brad Underwood can't win in March.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that before?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I've always combated it with, people said that about Bill Self when he was here. Like, you know, no one realizes that anymore. Everybody now worships the year Self was here, but Self went to the Elite Eight and then the Sweet 16 then lost in the round of 32. Oh, he just can't win in the tournament. It can be applied to any coach because there's such scarcity around the Final Four, and it just happens like that. And some years you lose and some years you win.
To your friend at the hotel who didn't know what the Final Four was, you start with all the teams and then you only get to four.
Yes.
It's hard to do.
Yes. But I know where you're going, and I totally agree that this is a big moment for that as well, because it finally puts all of that to bed.
It does, and it also, I mean, it shows a little bit of the randomness of March. In 2024, Illinois' draw was the best team in the country in the Elite Eight.
Yes.
In 2026, Illinois had a harder team to beat, I would argue, in the Sweet 16.
Definitely.
In Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And credit Iowa. Iowa's been playing great and maybe punching above their weight just a little bit here in the tournament. And it wasn't until Illinois just wore them down in the final 8 minutes that they advanced. But if Florida doesn't get knocked off by Iowa, is this the same outcome? We don't know. This is how it was, and this is how it is, so enjoy it.
Yeah, and you can look at what Duke has dealt with the last few years and understand what was accomplished in Houston here. So, I mean, Duke lost to Houston in a terrible game in the semifinals last year. You know, they had like a 66-61 lead with a minute and a half to go, and they blew it. Threw the ball away. Sound familiar? So this is 2 years in a row that they ended. But they also fell to NC State a few years ago. NC State, what are they, 10 seed, 11 seed or whatever, made a run all the way to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are two ways to lose in the Sweet 16. You get beat by that dominant team that could win it all, or there's always that upstart making their long run and, you know, a VCU, a Loyola. Excuse me. Iowa was trying to be that team this year. And sometimes, like that NC State team, they were terrible most of the year, caught fire, and then suddenly nobody could beat them, including Duke. And Illinois kind of walked both of those lines. Houston was absolutely a team that could win it all. They were playing at home. Illinois wins handily in the end. Iowa is that upstart team. They took out Nebraska. They took out Florida. They looked really good in the first 10 minutes. And Illinois withstood that and beat the upstart team. So this is swatting away every type of opponent. You know, you take out the team that could win it all, and you take out the team that, you know, was knocking off the Giants, and here we are in the Final Four.
There you go, calling a program an upstart when they just hadn't been in the Sweet 16 since 1999.
Cute little Iowa.
Okay, let's hang on this for a moment,
mm-hmm.
because I want to... Here's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want to get the, what were your favorite moment?
Sure.
What was your favorite moment or favorite moments of the weekend?
Yep.
We've got to get the Campus Town report from Ella.
Absolutely.
We got a lot of ground to cover here. And I want to frame properly now this team.
Sure.
Okay, there's all these things to do. But I did get several people reach out to me and said, is Robert okay?
Yes.
And after they won. Yes. Like, is Robert okay now?
Did he collapse?
Are you okay? And just as terms as far as it goes with Iowa, I mean, Illinois wins, and they go to the studio show, and guess whose mug is right there in the center of the studio desk? It's Bruce Pearl. But can we... I felt like this was for Dion. This was for the whole thing. But I just want you to know this. You just eliminated Iowa from the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
And a chance to go to the Final Four.
Yep.
You also won a Big Ten championship by beating them a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And the last time you beat them last year, their coach was fired.
Yep.
And the whole thing. So... you feel like it's all evened out a little bit? Are you willing to just go, okay.
Okay, now on, we're even.
You guys are over there. You do your thing and we do our thing and life goes on.
For any other scenario in my life, yes, I would say yes. For this scenario, for the sin of them taking college basketball enjoyment during my years on campus, they are not forgiven. I can't help it.
I didn't ask if you're forgiven. I just asked if like the scales of justice have balanced finally.
Seven more wins like that preventing happiness for Iowa fans. And I will consider the
IDS,
committee.
My friend.
Yeah, I will consider it.
IDS, my friend.
So yes, okay. It is a, you know, I even tweeted it with 12 minutes left. I'm like, you know how much hinges on these next. I'm either going to be over the moon excited or completely inconsolable. And it all depends on what happens next 11 minutes and 47 seconds.
Well, thank goodness for your sake.
You would not want to see this face if he was not wearing this shirt in this moment.
A remarkable change from the man on Friday who had changed remarkably from last Monday.
Yes. It's almost like I follow emotional whims.
All right. Well, regardless of the opponent, back to the Brad Underwood can't win in March.
Yep.
And he just did.
Yes.
And I just think it should be pointed out for a moment that the athletic director, Josh Whitman, hung with his guy. Hung with him. Not that I ever thought, I'm not suggesting ever that,
sure,
that that he was ever considering not.
Yep.
But what I'm saying is, and we've got a clip of a question in the post game that you asked.
I asked
of Brad Underwood.
Second question of the year.
And yeah, it went pretty viral.
Uh-huh.
You're going to start getting a big head about these things.
This head couldn't get any bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I meant in a figurative sense.
No, I mean in a literal sense. I mean, look at that thing on the monitor there.
I know that's what you meant.
Can we even see the pillow? Okay, I'll move. Continue.
His head looks like a giant pillow.
Orange on a toothpick.
That's how I married an axe murderer reference there for you.
Probably
Ella,
came out before she was alive.
I know. All right. Well,
so old.
We'll come back to that. But anyway,
yep.
Josh Whitman said, I'm sticking with this guy.
Sure.
And it wasn't just because somebody sold him some beans.
Mm-hmm. And essentially gave him a lifetime contract. I mean, it's a non-compete. It's a you could stay here as long as you want. Like, they made a handshake of, like, I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want another coach. You're good for life without making a Final Four or any of these things. So yeah, they cinched this deal long ago, and this was always going to be the coach.
So the coach who started in the JUCO ranks and was driving the van himself and walking uphill to school both ways,
I know what you're saying.
A little bit.
You're right though.
He's in the Final Four. Let's hear the clip.
Yeah, let's play the clip.
In 2017, you told the story about your administrative assistant at, I think it was at Stephen F. You had told her that Illinois was your dream job, and she wrote it down and presented that to you when you got the Illinois job. Moving forward 9 years, taking Illinois, your dream job, to the Final Four, put that in perspective for me.
Yeah, it's... it's not me. It's not just me. It's so many people that have helped along the way. And you believe in something so much that it drives me every single day to want to make it happen. One of the most fulfilling moments personally that I just had was standing on the ladder with the net and then seeing our fans and being able to just, that wasn't about me. That was about our fans. And that was about what's probably going on in Champaign right now. And because that's what you believe this to be, and you know it is. And you know, I've said it many times, coaches win games. I've got a great, great staff that makes me look good. We've been able to assemble a group of players that I love coaching. Administrators win championships, and you know, it's having that support and people that fight for you and make it possible. We play in the best league in the country, so anything's possible when it comes to winning a national championship. But I never doubted, and I don't want to sound arrogant, I've never doubted us getting to a Final Four would happen. I thought we've had other teams capable, but I also know how doggone hard it is to do it. And for that, I just say thank you. I say thank you to everybody involved. And I'm going to get emotional, but it's you know, I've been doing this 39 years, and you dream about this as a kid, and I dreamt about doing it at Illinois back in the day when my wife bought Tyler, who was maybe two, a Brian Cook jersey, and you knew what a special place this was, and it always has been, and there's been no other thing for me. This is my dream job, and it's very fulfilling to get where we're going.
Look at you, breaking journalism
second
rules.
Second question of the year.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gave the coach a demand. You said put that into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even say please.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. You didn't ask it as a question. You just said, put that into perspective.
Yes.
It's kind of like the old talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you get the most compelling answer.
Well, look at that. Maybe there should be more fanalists in the room and not journalists.
I don't think that's the conclusion I'm drawing here, sir.
No, I mean, I felt the moment coming. I could sense it in the room, and I wanted to go back to that moment. Like, the reason I ask I can't say it's a question, right? The reason I bring up topics like that in a press conference is because that's where my brain goes. As I was sitting there and as I walked into that press conference, I was thinking about his dream job quote from his opening, you know, press conference when he got the job, and talking about how she had given him this thing, like, remember when you got to Stephen F, we had this conversation and you said your dream job was Illinois. Well, here's the paper where I wrote it now. And so all I'm thinking about in that room is that moment where he had said, yeah, I am now at my dream job. I spent 10 years at Western Illinois looking across at the other side of the state. I saw they asked him on Chicago radio this morning about it. And he noted how difficult it was at Western that if Illinois had a game that night, their fans wouldn't show up because everybody's at home watching the Illini game. So, you know, it was either go to the Western game, or if there's an Illini game on TV, I'm not going to the Western game. So it's, you know, it's just, I can just think back to those days. I mean, he expanded on it further in other places of saying, like, hey, my wife was a teacher. All my kids were born in Illinois. Like, my wife was a teacher in Macomb, and this is where our life started. And I always looked across at the eastern side of the state, and like that program, what Lon Kruger did there, what Bill Self did there, that program can be a monster, and I could be the guy to do it. And here we are. So,
and that comes back to what I mentioned at the beginning. Josh Whitman stuck with him.
Yep.
And latched onto his plan, and vice versa.
Yep.
And they got in alignment. I'm sure it wasn't always just smooth sailing.
Whitman was on board with the first year. Remember, he just cleaned house. He kept DeMonte, Trent, Aaron Jordan, and Kipper.
Yeah.
And that was it. And was like, hey, next year's going to be really terrible because there was no transfer portal yet. There was no way to immediately build the roster. It's like, we're going to go young, and I'm going to recruit guys like Io and Georgie, and we're probably going to lose 20 games, but that's going to get us to where we need to go to change this culture. And Whitman was on board with that, like, gut it if you have to.
Yeah, and he stuck it through.
Yep.
Fans stuck it through.
Yep.
and here you are. And I thought of football where it's at, and women's hoops where it's at, and now men's basketball, which has been there. I'm not saying it just showed up today. I'm just saying.
Sure.
But it's a little bit of the Willy Wonka, like, don't forget what happened to every Illini, the Illini fan who got everything he always wanted. He lived happily ever after, you know.
Yeah.
I just, somebody said they're concerned about, we can get into UConn and, like, will we win or not on Saturday and Monday? And I know you're going to have trouble breathing, but I'm just saying, this is a great season.
Yeah.
And I'll go ahead and bring this up now.
Yeah.
Will Leach wrote for you on IlliniBoard.com. It was called his Illini Power Rankings.
Yes. He's writing another one for this Wednesday.
Yeah.
He has more words he needs to get out.
But he wrote this, and first of all, the man has a way of turning a phrase.
He does.
This is going into the Sweet 16. This weekend, we will find out exactly. Let me back up. He spends some time recalling his own young fandom of Illinois. And I've got a son who's 13 and a daughter who's 10 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of cool. This weekend, we will find out how exactly we will talk about this team, a team that we have obsessed over all season for the rest of our lives. This team has the talent to be a flying Illini team, the sort that makes your kids slobber all over a 45-year-old Jake Davis when they run into him in 25 years. This team also has the inconsistency and the occasional struggles with embracing prosperity and opportunity to be the one that breaks our hearts. I'm pretty sure that at its best, this is the most talented Illini team since the D. Darren Luther team. It's more talented top to bottom than the Io Kofi team. I'm not sure it's that close, but that doesn't mean we'll forever talk about them that way. They have three games. Check that. They have 3 days, two games, to be legends here forever. It really is just about these three little days. By Sunday, we will know. And so will they. Well, it was actually late Saturday night. We knew. This is a team of legends. This is a great season. You're going to talk about, in the, quote, modern era of Illinois basketball, you're going to talk about 89, 05, and 26.
Yep.
And now a number one seed team from 21 and a really good three-seeded 24 team take a back seat.
Yes. That's it's so strange to think.
And I'm not saying that diminutively to those two teams.
Totally
agree. It's just they are now legends.
Yes. It's so strange to think that, you know, I, as a kid, I always thought of the 87 team like that. Like, the 87 team was playing so well, the Ken Norman team, that I thought they could, like, win it all, and they get upset by Austin Peay. And that's all anybody says about it. All anyone knows about the 87 team
in 20 years. Oh, Austin that 21 Peay. Team got bounced by Loyola.
Loyola. That's all.
Well, it had two All-Americans on it.
Yes, it's sad.
The 84 sad. Team. Oh, there was a traveling call in Kentucky.
Yep. That's it. That's it. And so that's
not entirely fair.
It's not at all fair, but that's where this is going to land. That's what this team, regardless of what happens this week. Now, I shouldn't say regardless. If one certain thing happens on Saturday and Monday, then this is the greatest Illinois team of all time. Like, that's the new level that this could be. Win 80 minutes of basketball with the number one offense in college basketball, and you can claim to be the single greatest team, the one we'll remember forever, the one people will talk about in 100 years. So that's all there. I don't get ahead of myself. We're still talking, you know.
Yeah.
We can preview later.
This is still the afterglow.
Yes, this is the afterglow. But yes, by being in the Final Four, I just kept looking at graphics this morning of, like, just show me any graphic on social media that has a Michigan logo, an Illinois logo, a UConn logo, and an Arizona logo, and I will stare at it forever, because that's all I've ever wanted. I just want to be mentioned alongside, you know, here's the teams in the Final Four. And I, in the, you know, 10 years ago today, in late March of 2016, what did we finish? 15 and 19 or whatever that season. I could not even squint and imagine something like this. So to be in the Final Four again, it is, incredible. These guys are legends.
All right, we got to bring in our chief bureau editor.
Yes.
Of the
our Champaign campus correspondent.
Yeah, campus town correspondent.
That's right.
This is Ella Peterson, producer extraordinaire. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
And
how are you guys?
I thought it was remarkable seeing on... I was in State College all weekend in Pennsylvania with Illinois baseball. Lost the Friday night game. Bounced back with a run rule victory on Saturday. And Ella, wasn't it remarkable? You were on campus to see how everybody was rushing the alma mater simply because Illinois baseball won a game
A 10-run win at Penn State.
11.
In March. Oh, sorry, 11. Apologies.
Yeah, that really got everybody going. I think that was top of mind. I think across campus was Illinois baseball at Penn State.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, first, what did you do? How did you take in the Elite Eight game?
I basically camped out at Cam's with my friends all day.
What time did you get there to get a spot?
I went in at about noon.
Love it. Love it. That's amazing. So game's at 5:10. So 5 hours camped out to have a spot at Cam's. I love that so much. I want to be a student again.
Yeah, I'm going to look at Ella's camera now instead of... I was looking at the wrong camera. But
you're fine.
For those of you who are watching, sorry about that, Ella. I am listening.
That's
despite what my wife says.
So give me the mood. Tell me what Cam's was like.
Oh, man. It was just so fun. There's nothing like being on campus watching Illinois basketball with all your best friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the first half was a little bit of a blur. And just the way of, like, you aren't winning. I was making everything. You're all kind of looking at each other like, did we really do this? Like, are we here?
Yeah.
And this is how it's going to happen. And then let me tell you, halftime comes around. We're getting into this second half, and it's like, wait a minute. You keep looking up. It's getting a little closer. You look up. Uh-oh. Oh, my God. We took the lead.
Yeah.
And then it is just insane from there.
Yeah. Yeah. What was, like, I'm guessing when the lead pushed out to 10, at least in the arena, that's when the fans were like, you could just feel it start to get louder and louder. Like, this is happening. No, this is happening. I don't think they can come back from 10 points down. Like, this is really actually going to happen. What was it like at Cam's?
So you start jumping a little bit, you know, because every time they go to commercial, it's a new song that comes on. And you can tell these songs were really pre-planned. So you're up by 10, commercial, and just some of the best songs are coming on. So you're starting to hug. You're starting to dance. It's the whole thing.
Then is it one person who... like stands with a flag and like to the alma mater and or is it just like this natural reaction of like, hey everybody, let's get to Alma, let's go six blocks east right now? What was that like?
That's just the natural, like, oh my gosh, we just won.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's freaking out. You give yourself about 3 minutes to freak out there. People are falling. People are jumping.
Throwing drinks and
up in
everything's
the air.
Everything's in the air. Yes, I saw videos. Yes.
Every phone is out recording it because it's the one thing that you're like, I was there. I cannot wait to show people.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, people just start running out the door. You don't really know where they're going. You can assume they're going to Alma.
Yeah.
They might be, they might not be. And then all of a sudden, everybody's there.
I've always wanted to be part of a mob.
Yes, I've never been in a mob of anything.
I've tried to have a mob mentality, but I guess you have to do it first and know what it's like.
So did you stick around for a while? Did you head to the statue? What did you do?
I stuck around for a little bit.
Okay.
Inside, kept celebrating, kept having some fun.
Well, now you got some space, right?
See, now you can really open it up and have some fun. Then went down to Alma, and I was so far back at that point. It was, you had to really get a head start
on the
jump to get there. So
that, whoever cool had the drone see. Up in the air, that drone shot of all the students like spilling out onto Green and onto Wright and into the intersection and toward Altgeld, that was awesome. Just
now,
awesome to see.
It seemed like, I don't want to be all Pollyanna, but it seemed like it was all love and good vibes out there. There wasn't a whole lot of troublemaking.
Oh, no. Just strictly love and good vibes.
Yes.
There was nothing. I mean, that was such a top two night at the University of Illinois. I'm only a sophomore, but like, I've had some really fun moments here.
Let's go through this.
That to rank top two with me,
yeah,
that's huge.
In her college career, just a sophomore, spring of her sophomore year, she had Citrus Bowl. She had we got to the round of 32 last year, lost to Kentucky. Now she's got Music City Bowl and Final Four. Just in 2 years. Just the 2 years.
I've had a great time.
And women won a game in both tournaments her 2 years here at school. Mm-hmm. Incredible. Okay, let's go to the next thing. What's your plan this week? We need to tell the people about your conundrum. Then we need to work it out.
Well, at least the hypothetical.
Yes.
If you could go to the Final Four game and or championship game, or you could stay back in this atmosphere again on campus with, I assume, people you love and care about here.
And let's be honest, it's a go with the family.
Oh.
Or...
Yeah.
Go to CAMS with the friends. I get that dilemma. Had there been a Final Four when I was in college, I would have debated that. So, where's your head?
Door number one, door number two.
All right, I'm in a huge pickle. And deadline is tonight. So, I hope we get this episode out by the time I make my call because I'm one of four. I have three brothers. Both my parents went to the University of Illinois. I have had a family member here since my great-grandpa on my dad's side. So, long-time Illinois family. My mom's birthday is on April 3rd. All she's ever wanted is to go to the Final Four. Mm. Technically, I was at the Final Four in 2005. I just wasn't officially here. My parents were there.
Oh, that's great. That's such a good... I forgot about that stat. Yes, you were there. Just weren't...
This would technically be my second.
Yes.
Anyways, go with the family. Stay at home. Stay in Champaign. And hang out with my friends.
Here's where my head's at. You didn't ask for my advice, but I'm going to give it. I might plan it out as like go Saturday. If we win, then CAMS Monday night. So you could tear down alma mater and get on the national news.
Look, you've got studying to do Monday also, that. Right?
So. Be nice to alma. But yes, but that's what I would go. Oh gosh, though. Yeah.
Put yourself back on camera so I can ask you that again. But you have studying to do Monday night, right?
If they give any homework on the week that we're in the national championship, that's national news.
The look you just gave, though, the first time you just shook your head and just went and scowled.
Sorry, this midterm is Tuesday morning, no matter what.
I actually have two projects due next Tuesday, so shout out Illinois men's basketball.
Oh,
if they could pull through big for me on Monday, I feel like. You're a journalism kid. You got to push it back. I mean, this is huge national news.
Yes.
And then,
you need
you're
to
doing research.
It. Yes. Yes.
Background.
That's right. This is part of your class. How could they dare have a project due Tuesday?
And I'll take any advice on this because my biggest hang up is in a decade, what would I look back on and be like, why would you do that? Would I look back in 10 years and be like, why were you not? You had an opportunity to go watch that team in person in Indy. Yeah. In the Final Four and you didn't go?
Yeah.
Or am I going to look back and say, I had 4 years to be a student. I was lucky enough right in the middle of my college career to be an Illinois student. I've always been an Illinois fan.
Yeah.
But be a student. And I left for that game.
Yeah.
Go ahead. My thought is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to – potentially once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to a Final Four – with your family is not to be overlooked. But the potential more once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do it while you're a student, because you don't know what next year brings. And theoretically, you know, right now Illinois is on a pace about, what's the average of 21 and 16?
On a pace of what? You lost
me. You're about 18 and once every 18 and a half years.
To get to the Final
Four. So theoretically, in 18 years or so, if this is the frequency at which Illinois gets to a Final Four, you could still go with your family 18 years from now.
True, and that's the question. But then I think I'm liking Robert's theory right now with best of both worlds of it.
Do both?
Do a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Since we're obviously winning on Saturday.
I mean, obviously.
So... I think there's that thing, you know, the issue, like if this was being played in an arena the size of Houston, then yes, it's a go. The thing about the Final Four is sometimes people get to their seat and like, I'm just watching the big screen the whole time.
This is a basketball game for ants?
Yes, exactly. I can't tell what's happening and I appreciate being here and I like making noise with the other people, but... I don't feel like I'm at a basketball game at the moment.
Are they going to have a watch party?
That's a great question. Well, are they going to open up State Farm Center? I haven't even thought of that. Are they going to do the...
I know that's not quite the same as a CAMS experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. But so my point there is, like, sometimes if it was a football national championship game, it's like, yes, be there. They'll give a lot of student tickets, and they'll get the students closer and this and that. Or even if you're just sitting with them, it's easier to watch football in a big stadium, obviously. Basketball in the center of a big football stadium is one of those. If your seats are really, really far, the experience on TV is better for people who want to get into the game than even being there. So that's another. I get that that's another part of this that needs to be debated as to,
yeah, where are your seats?
Yes, yes, that's
which that yeah only. I saw a get-in price of like $500 for the upper deck,
mm-hmm.
and I just wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I would have a way better experience on a couch watching that game.
Okay, have we helped at all? Love it.
Like, I just think perfect. We're talking, you know, we're talking decade later decisions that I need to use a 20-year-old brain right now to try and make, which is just like...
Yes. Yeah, no, that's why you've come to us.
Yes.
Sure.
And we did such a great job.
You just did a great job. Yeah.
Such a great job of presenting all sides.
Check back with you guys next week, and, yes, and we can follow up on the plan.
Okay, so if you're making the decision tonight, well, it's probably too late for people to get into the YouTube comments, because by the time this is up and then people are commenting, you're getting close to your decision time. But if you do want to give Ella advice, you could do it on the YouTube comments to say what to do with her dilemma.
Okay, but before we go... Ella, I'll ask you this, and then you, Robert. Favorite moment, a favorite moment from the Elite Eight game and just this experience so far?
It's so cliche, but Wagler step back three.
Yeah, I bet.
Sends the Iowa guy spinning, and it was just like one of those moments where you're there, you're all watching, and you're like, all right, he's going to do it, but he's not going to make it. Then it's in the air, and you're like, no, he's going to make it. Then it goes in, and you're like, oh, we're winning this game.
And not only to go in, the guy who stumbled backwards caught the ball out of the hoop. Like, he's guarding the guy to the three-point line, stumbles all the way far enough, 20 feet, that he's the guy grabbing the ball out of the hoop and inbounding it. It's just such a perfect play.
All right, what about you, Robert?
This is easy. I watched some free throws. I am a... what's the phrase from Elf? I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins. When it comes to watching games late, I get so nervous, and I get so... my heart rate and my sweating, and I'm just a mess. I just can't control my nerves. And so I get to the point in games where I can't watch free throws. I just can't. It's too much pressure. So I just, if I'm on Media Road, I will just sit there and put my head down and stare at my keyboard. Just because it's too much to watch. It's just too much. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. So a lot of times I have to get up and pace because I'm weak. And
you're a pacer.
Once we got to the free throws to get us from 8 to 10, I think it was Boswell's free throws. I just got to this point of like, guys, we're winning this game. We're at the end of the Elite Eight game with the Final Four on the line, and my heart rate's come down, and like the excitement is coming up, and like I just knew the game was over. Like normally I'm that guy. We're up 10 with 30 seconds left, and I'm like, we could still lose this. Hold on. And so I just for me, I would go hide in that corner where I was standing and not watch any free throws because I can't handle it. And so for me to have this moment of like, wait, we're winning this game. We're going to the Final Four. I'm just going to walk right out here, watch these free throws, like my own little personal victory, like somebody scared of spiders, hold a spider in their hand. Like it was this moment for me of like, we are so good, I don't even have to sweat right now. We just took over this game. Iowa wilted. We're going to the Final Four. And just that feeling, that emotion, enjoying the moment with all the Illini fans around me, that was my favorite moment of Saturday. Just, this is actually happening. We are actually going to the Final Four.
For me?
Mm-hmm. Which you're in State College. The yeah. game was over at this point. You're not...
I was in State College the whole weekend.
No, I'm saying the Saturday game, you didn't have any conflict of overlap.
Oh, yeah, the baseball game was over. Yes. I think for me, my favorite part about this weekend was David Mirkovich.
Yes.
I think every winning team has sort of needs a character.
Yes.
And he provides it.
Yes.
Just by being him. Kind of like how you provide just you here.
You're saying I'm the mascot of like...
I didn't say you're the mascot. Okay. I don't want to dehumanize you.
I do.
And the fact that he... I don't want to say he struggled, but he was almost like too amped up in the first half. And Illinois' whole game is if we miss the three, get the offensive rebound.
Yeah.
Well, they were getting the offensive rebounds and then missing the second chance opportunities. And it's like, guys, this is our thing. Like, don't miss the close shots.
Yes.
This is, and that wasn't. And then they come back. They kind of came back fairly quickly, but once they took it over and then they win, to see Merck crying.
Yeah.
This whole concept of Brad Underwood went and imported a bunch of Europeans. You could almost see it as, are these sort of rented players?
Mm-hmm.
And to see that, like, this guy is all in. He's in Houston, and he orders online a cowboy hat. And I'm like, you couldn't just, like, walk around the corner? I'm sure they sell them.
Right.
But anyway, he's got the cowboy hats going on. He's just like, I'm embracing this. I'm loving this. They come back to Willard, and they're stars. They're celebrities. They're legends.
Yeah.
I just thought it's a really cool experience that these two freshmen, the unsung recruit from Kansas, and the other, the who's that from halfway around the world from a country that most people couldn't point to on a map.
Yep.
And they're all here together. And these two freshmen are the step back three, the Mirkovich hustle, the whole thing. And then he's crying because he's going to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know the Final Four. He knows the Final Four. I'm not saying they don't know it, but it's not like...
It's not part of his upbringing like it was for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he wanted it just as bad.
Yep.
And he's delivered it, he and the Ivasiches and Stojakovic and Petrovic.
Yeah.
They've come and been a part of this. Absolutely. And I just think that's really cool.
I don't know if you saw the video Tyler put up of... the net cutting ceremony.
Oh, Merck trying to grab. Yes. I mean that.
That's the thing. He doesn't
know. I'm just going to grab the whole thing, and then
he just thought like
Kylan has to be like, what are you doing?
Yes, he thought
it's
it
not
was
exactly what he said. But what are you doing?
He thought it was kind of a pinata vibe of like these are each getting
net,
broken
I
a little more,
it.
And I will now be the one who gets the whole thing down. And Kylan has to explain it. But then on top of that. Now, Kylan Boswell, starting guard for Illinois, is cutting the net with scissors. And what does Merck do? He thinks that's a great time to shake the ladder. Like, it's just so, he's just so chaotic. Like his brain, he has no filter of like, should I not? Oh, wait, I see what you're saying. I see what, I'm sensing this here. Is that what it's like to be in a room with me? Is that what's happening right here? Is this a life lesson for Robert?
Well, I see our time is up.
Okay, I'll be back next week.
Next time.
Yes, our next session where we talk about don't shove the ladder. Yeah, I did a lot of those things when I was a kid. Yeah, he's just a big kid, right? He's just a big kid, and we love him for it.
Yeah, and I think at some level it makes the team so much more relatable.
Absolutely.
And endearing. Not that the other good teams weren't, but it just everybody needs, you know. That's one of the reasons I loved Coleman Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him as a and covering him as a player, he just sort of had so much personality that, and at the end of the day, you're just like, I'm pulling for this guy.
And it needs to be noted that people said that all of that would go away with NIL, the portal, and the idea of European players, you know, coming over that don't know that, you know, there were all these complaints of like, oh, it's just going to be,
well,
I won't even know the team and this and that. And
last time I checked, it's going to be pretty hard to get a ticket to the Final Four.
Exactly.
And I think the ratings will be fine.
Exactly. So, yes. And we've got the kid from Montenegro who is just a big kid out on the basketball court, does something to make you laugh out loud every single game. So, it's a great team.
All right. Thank you, Ella. Thank you, Robert. When we come back, Chris Harlan will join us, the president and CEO of the U of I Community Credit Union. He was in Houston. He got to take in the game. So we're going to talk to him, and then we'll wrap things up on Light the Eye. Welcome back on Light the Eye. We've been saying since episode number one that we are presented by the U of I Credit Union, and we're so pleased to have the president and CEO of the U of I Credit Union, Chris Harlan, with us. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Nice.
Welcome to your show.
Nice timing. Show.
I'm assuming that everyone is tuning in to hear some guy from the credit union talk today.
It's like the golf broadcast of like the Shell Houston Open, and then Jim Nance will bring the CEO of Shell in and let him talk golf for a little bit.
Like, that's just
he's
what
earned
like.
That spot. So you look, your little sticker is
like
right
that.
There. Yes. Light the Eye, Shell Houston Open. Jim just, Nance, Scott Beatty. Yes,
thank you for 100%. Recognizing yes. that I'm the Jim Nance. That's You're right. kind of more of Chichi Rodriguez.
Yes, I'm going for more the David Faraday vibe. Yes.
Unfortunately, I'm the guy that you're watching when you really want to be seeing some golf.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Everybody yells at the TV of like, show the golf
shots. I want to see a shot.
I don't care what charity Shell has supported this week. Yes.
But look, you're a fan and you got to be in Houston. What was the experience like to watch the Illini make the Final Four? Was that a first for you?
That was a first for me. I been a fan my entire life. I've probably caught 95% of Illini basketball games over the last 40 years. So when the opportunity presented itself, I couldn't get down there Thursday, Friday. I just couldn't clear the schedule. And hey, we beat Houston. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, wait a minute, this is a Final Four opportunity. And so whatever it took for me to get down there, which was five planes and a whirlwind 24 hours, it was worth every second of it.
Yeah, yeah. A can't not be there moment, right?
That was it, 100%. And my wife understood because she's been there through the whole thing.
Yep, yep. So where were you? Like, were you standing? Were you pacing? What? Like, tell me your experience of, it's tied with 10 minutes to go. It's going to be this, like, who's going to finish this off? Who's going to do the surge? What was it like for you?
I was standing pretty much the whole game. Mm-hmm. What a great showing by all the Illini fans. I was in the Illini section,
yeah.
And fans are just standing
yes.
pretty much 100% of the game.
Pretty much, like, yep.
As the action was going, people stood up and cheered this team on. So
even after they let up their first basket?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Sorry,
good point. That's the tradition here, right?
Oh, I mean just so many just tense moments. And that was as I was live texting people, you know, just saying the tension in this place,
yep.
you know, cut yep. it with a knife.
With 5 minutes left, I came over. So I was across the court from the bench is where my media seat was. And I just get to the point where I can't not pace. Like, I'm going to explode as a human being just sitting there if I don't move around. So I came around to that little corner section by the end of the Illinois bench and media, and there's cameras there, so media can be there. And so I was just pacing back and forth there. So I'm right next to the big section of Illinois fans, which I'm guessing that's the section you were in.
Probably,
and it was
yeah.
just so interesting to watch the confidence start to grow. Like, okay, it's a 5-point lead. Tommy made the two baskets and okay, six. Okay, if he hits these two free throws, it's 8.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, they missed. If we had two more free throws, it's 10.
Yeah.
And you could just see that entire section just get a little louder and a little it's happening. I think it's happening. It's
oh,
really
yeah.
happening. And yeah, it was awesome to watch from that vantage point.
Yeah. I mean, chills now just thinking about
yeah.
how the crowd not only never wavered in that game, you know, it was a punch that they took to start and then just slowly, just methodically wore them down for the remaining 35 minutes of that game.
Yep.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Again, it's blowing my mind that we set this up a month ago. And in my mind, I wasn't thinking like, well, Chris will obviously be coming straight from the where Illinois qualified for the Final Four in the Elite Eight. But it's so great that you could share these stories. Listen, I want to tell the people what the genesis of all this was and our conversations about this and why we partnered on all this and just talk about all that. So cool. You and I have had lunches and we talked about this and, you know, tell me the core of U of I Credit Union and like why you wanted to partner with this kind of thing and why you wanted to, you know, be more present with the fans and everything else. Because I mean, look here, right? You know, there's the black eye on your card. You guys are orange and blue through and through. So tell me about it.
Yeah, no, the brand connection for us is so strong. A lot of people think that we're part of the University of Illinois. We're not. We're an independent organization, a nonprofit organization. But, you know, the alignment is so perfect. We started serving the employees of the University of Illinois. So that's our culture, our heritage, and who we are at our core. We've expanded way beyond that. Most people don't know that either, that you don't have to work at the University of Illinois to be a member. I tell that on repeat to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Almost anybody could be a part of it. And so I have to carry that message forward. But it's who we are at our core, and this just gives us an opportunity to continue to tell that story that we're like where the fans are. Mm-hmm. You know, like we really like being corporate sponsors. We like having the opportunity to have our name in the stadium, but I feel like these opportunities are kind of who we are.
Sure.
At our best.
Yeah. And you have your office on campus. Like you get to, you told me that before. You get to,
we got a branch in the Union. Yeah. I mean,
you get to come to campus every day for work and everything else. Yes. So yeah, it's and it was ideal for us as well, because we named the thing Light the Eye. Like we want to bring a spotlight to this place. And so that's why it was kind of a perfect marriage. Uh-huh. And on top of that, you're a crazy fan who
took
a three-legged flight home just so you could have been there to see the Eye.
Totally irrational. But I think before the game, I was so amped up, nervous. And I said, you know, I watched a hype video and I was starting to hyperventilate. My wife said, "Are you good?" And I said, "I'm good. I'm just not well."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the same message. My wife's like, "Drink water, breathe. You'll find yourself not breathe. Just take breaths. Yes. You'll have to remind yourself to breathe." Yes.
How are you feeling now?
Over the moon. We're going to repeat this though. You know, for me, I know you kind of feel like that weight that lifted, mm-hmm. but I also know how I'm going to feel on Saturday mm-hmm. about noon.
Yep.
And we get to do it again. So
that's right.
Those are good problems to have.
Yeah. And then maybe again on Monday night, as much as it blows my mind to say those words.
I had the privilege to travel as part of the radio crew in 2024. So when the team returned from the first and second round from Omaha, there was throngs of people waiting at Willard Airport. I don't know if you were out there yesterday. You obviously weren't, Robert, because you hadn't made it back yet. But I was looking at pictures online, and it was probably, I mean, it was way more this time around. It was pretty cool, you know. And I'm just trying to snake my way through the mob of people,
right,
while all the players and coaches get all this attention. And it's just a neat rallying point for the fans and for this community.
I felt, you know, I watched the game on TV in 2005 when we beat Arizona up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said the bus is coming back tonight and come down to Assembly Hall at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the players are going to be there. So I have a memory of being there with my dad in 2005, Jake and D Brown's hand and Darren Williams as they walked down the line. So I missed yesterday because I was coming back. Yep. But those memories are deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Very deep. What is the what was the office like today? I'm just curious what it's like to walk in. I kind of miss those days, you know, because I used to work in an office, and you go in on Monday morning and you're wearing your polo or whatever. I mean, what was it like at the office today? Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, nobody's gonna have a bad week. It's Final Four. There's no bad week. There's no bad days right now.
Yeah.
And that will continue as we go for a championship. But my real focus right now is we're putting together a member giveaway for tickets to the Final Four.
Oh.
And I had absolutely no idea how hard it was to get tickets to the Final Four.
Yes. NCAA controls so many of the tickets.
Yeah, I mean,
name names, but I asked a person, not even asking for tickets. I was just asking,
yeah,
how many people, somebody with a connection, how many people have reached out to you for tickets? They said, you can't believe the number of people that have asked me for tickets.
Right.
They are so, well, if money's no object, you can get a ticket. But
yes,
that would help.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, I've been asked maybe 50 tickets, you know, and trying to get four is almost impossible.
Yeah.
Based on the allocations that a university gets and athletics and everything else.
I don't know the ins and outs, but it's a relatively small number.
It's a very small number compared to the fact that you're playing a basketball game in a football stadium.
Yep.
Anyway, we're kind of dead set. So that's kind of a fun side event today. We have our annual meeting of the membership tomorrow night, so we got a lot to plan for. It's a busy week.
Sure.
But part of what we're going to do is get a member giveaway up so we can get some fans to Indianapolis.
So for people who are credit union members, when will that go down?
Like, we're going to try to get it up tomorrow. Okay. So we can do, like, hey, we're going to do some promotional stuff Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe like end of the day Thursday, give away some tickets.
Sure.
And then
that's great.
You know, give folks couple days to figure out how they're going to drive over and watch the Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, hotel rooms are crazy, but I mean, they're plenty out in the suburbs. Getting downtown is kind of impossible, but yeah, the good thing is if Illinois fan really wants to make it happen, they could drive from Champaign, hour 47 minutes, something like that, straight to the stadium. You could you make that drive home afterwards,
roughly.
Yeah.
I would like, if you would, just for those who don't know, you're a credit union.
Yes.
What's the difference? Maybe somebody said,
that's
okay.
Great question.
Yeah. Hey, well, I have my money in a bank.
Yeah.
So why consider a credit union as opposed to a regular bank?
Yeah, it's easily confused because we offer a lot of the same products and services that banks offer. I mean, that's easy to confuse. And we have really good digital tools. That's something we focus on a ton. Which is also another misconception. But the difference is in the core structure itself. Instead of bank shareholders, we have member owners. So as members of the credit union, you're also an owner. I say we have the annual meeting of the membership tomorrow. That's where the members elect a volunteer board of directors that lead the strategy of the organization. And we can't be bought or sold, which is... it's up to the discretion of that board, which is sort of unique in today's environment where you see a lot of, banks combining. And I think being local and having a local presence and having the opportunity to support this and all the community events that need sponsorships, the teams, the organizations. We do a ton of financial literacy in workplaces. We go on the road, and I think that meets the mission that we serve to create.
Yeah, and you've been gracious enough to be title sponsor of this show. We couldn't have found a better partner for this. I just want to say that on the air, of like, that people know that.
Yeah, and I personally want to say thank you. I mean, this is a new venture for me. And having grown up and cut my teeth on radio, I mean, it translates pretty well. But this wouldn't have happened without you. And so for me to be able to step out into this new space, so personally I'm grateful for you helping us, but also glad that we can help get your message out.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to do this. And again, this is part of the fun part of the job, right? Where we get to be fans and be a part of it. And we take advantage of that. And where we can, we try to give it back.
So will you be there Saturday and Monday, if at all possible? I know you're a busy guy. So.
I think you would have to, I don't know what the saying is, but wild horses couldn't
wild
keep
horses
me away.
Couldn't drag
Brad
me
Underwood
away.
Said you would crawl there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So again, if everything works out the way it's supposed to, then yes, I can't wait. I'll sit in the upper deck if I have to.
That's right. Just be part of it. To be there. I can't let my brain even get to Saturday yet. Like, just the thought of, like, what if we win, though? Like, what?
Just breathe.
What is Sunday?
Just breathe,
like,
fellas.
What do I even do with myself? You know, like, I just can't do it. Just need to get through these next 24 hours. Yes,
that's
and then
right.
The next 24 hours. I can do this. Yeah, listen, thank you so much. Again, I want to make sure people listening and watching on YouTube know, like, you have made this possible. And, like, we wanted to do this, and I told you the vision of, like, it's not just a show or a podcast. It's, like, rooted in the university, and we're on campus where we're recording, and we are lighting the eye. We are bringing a focus to those things, and it couldn't be aligned better with what you do. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I when you presented the concept, it felt very organic. It felt very natural, and it felt very positive. And boy, you really kicked it off at the right time.
That's right.
At the very least, now when we go to games next year, we get to hear Kevin Harlan say, "Illinois goes to the Final Four."
You're right.
In the hype clip.
Yes. Yes.
For how many years do we get to hear that now?
Yeah.
And for how many years have we wanted that? Yeah. That's the reality of today for me.
Yeah, that's why there were so many stakes on Friday. Like, you'd gotten to the Elite Eight, on Saturday. Like, you'd gotten to the Elite Eight, but just getting that one step further, another Final Four, put it on the banner in the stadium. Now you've got six all time. You've leapfrogged several other programs. Like, it was a very, very important day, and I'm so glad we're talking about it this way.
Monumental.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Chris Harlan is the president and CEO of the U of I Community Credit Union. Find out more at uificreditunion.org. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Light the Eye. All right, before we go, you had posted about your ventures getting to Houston, the image of planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yes.
With Steve Martin and John Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Funny movie, Ella. You should watch it sometime.
Came out 20 years before she was born? 15 years? We're really old. Keep going.
Yep. And I thought about those two characters in the movie, and I thought, those two could make a podcast.
Are you saying I'm candy? Are you saying I'm bringing shower ring salesman energy to the podcast?
Hey, you've come to your own conclusions today. Your self-awareness is what it is.
I'll just let you settle in with that am thought.
Does that mean I'm the sanctimonious prick?
I don't think so.
But at the end of that movie, just to revisit, I thought about this because last episode we touched on the fact that we went to an opera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did go to an opera together.
And I was kind of like, let's not broadcast this. Let's just keep it on the DL, and then what does John Candy say in the movie? I like me. My wife likes me.
Yes.
Hey, it's just, this is who I am. So what?
It's funny.
So I'm having a breakthrough.
When I posted that, somebody made a reference to the people train run out of Stubville part. You know, like, no, that's a cattle train. People train run out of Stubville. So yes, I mean the reference was I took a train to Chicago, then I took an Uber from the Homewood Amtrak station to Midway, and then I flew to Houston from there. So I did a full planes, trains, and automobiles trip to get back there. So
good stuff.
Yes.
All right, when we next visit with each other, we will be getting our minds around Illinois and UConn in the national semifinal in Indianapolis. Thanks so much for hanging with us, for producer Ella Peterson, for our friends here at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning at the University of Illinois in the campus and inside the Armory. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. If you would, like and subscribe, and we'll talk to you real soon the next time we light the eye.